Good
morning.
Such a joy to be back to this group, even seeing so many new faces. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity. I pray that you would prepare our hearts and that you would prepare my words, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be always acceptable in your sight. So, Lord, we pray that you would speak to your people this morning, that you would encourage them and bring forth the fruit that you have created them for in Jesus. Well,
actually, I mean to turn it on. Well, it's falling down a little bit here.
Can you hear me now? I'm not selling phones, really. Well, there are two words that I'd like you to remember that kind of carry the theme. And that those phrases actually would be so that and so what. As we think about it. You know, we have that one theme of through the scriptures this morning. We see that God's heart, He wants family. He wants all His people to come into the kingdom. He longs for them. And so we see that all of the reason, He says, it's no small thing that I should call, you know, bless you and you would be my people. I want all the earth to be in my family. We are in the Abrahamic covenant. He says, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we are grafted into that covenant. And so that's your fruit too. And so I'm here to encourage you to be more than you are. Most of the time when we hear the Aaronic blessing, you know, it said, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord makes His face to shine upon you and grant you peace. Lift up His countenance upon you. We take all of it in, but we forget the next verse. He says, so that my name will be put on the people when you do this. And so think about that. God, all He is, His name is not like George or Harry all that God is, when God blesses us, He puts all that He is on us. He makes that available. He's a covenant God. And so, and it's not who we are, it's who He is and all that He is. Why? So that my name may be known in the earth, my salvation among all nations. We said that in this morning. In Acts, He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the earth, all the nations of the earth. Wind that up. Now, we all hear that, and it can kind of bounce off. But I'm going to challenge you that there's more than that, that you are more than you are, more than you think you are. But together, you have a tremendous opinion. I've always been blessed with the treasure that I've seen Him place here. And so you might be standing up there, and there are a lot of new people out there. You might say, well, who is this guy? Okay? Well, first, I'm Ken Shirky. I'm the founder and director of the Gateway Center for World Mission. And I've been in ministry for 37 years in mission. But one of the most exciting things was God's connection. And you have to understand that God likes to use the small things of the world, the weak things of the world to show Himself strong. So I'm a good candidate, right? Well, in 2007, I got this email from a Reverend Eric Twine from Bunyoro Katara Diocese. And I'm saying, okay, if you don't know what that is, you go to Google. I mean, God lives on Google, right? So I get in there, and all of a sudden, you know, Uganda and Kentucky comes up in the same search. And I said, what? So I had to, you know, do it a couple of times. But finding out that here is St. Andrews is one of the Anglican congregations that had been brought out of the Episcopal. And they had a bishop, a covering bishop from Uganda that was making the way for their clergy to be verified. And so I called up the rector and said, "Well, I'm going to go see your bishop because we're going to go see Bishop Nathan and Eric Tweeney to find out what God is doing here. And I'm going to pull us all in." Bottom line, that partnership in the last few years, we went back and God has brought 30,000 people into the kingdom and trained hundreds of leaders. That's your fruit. Because you said, we're going to do this. We're going to be partnering alongside them. And I said, "Well, who am I?" And the Lord says, "It's not about you. So just go and do what I tell you." And right now we're seeing that the Ugandans, they're doing their own training, their own seminaries. There are wells in Uganda because of your generosity that serve thousands of people with fresh water and bring them health because of what God has done in and through you as part of that partnership. It's always nice to look back and say, you know, here's what God did. But the most exciting thing is, what is God doing now? Where are we at now? God is moving in unprecedented ways. He's shaking our nation. He's shaking the nations of the earth. You know, one of the most exciting things that we hear about, we look at the news and we see how all these Iranians that are being shot and killed and, you know, droves on the street. But we also hear that Jesus himself is physically appearing to droves of people in Iran. Iran is now the fastest growing church on the planet. 75% of the mosques are empty because there's nobody in them. They're all coming to Christ and moving away from Islam. So God is moving in unprecedented ways. along Satan doesn't like to give up his territory, so the spiritual warfare is up. He's going to war to discourage you. He's going to try to tell you, you're not this, you're not that, who are you? Well, I can stand here and say, I'm nobody. But I serve a God of covenant who's given me all that he is. Now, we've gotten into spiritual war. You know, we don't travel as much as we eat. But he started to give us, moved to Louisville. We were here for 14 years. Loved it. It's good to be back. But now we're starting to deal more with spiritual warfare. We're training with deliverance in a lot of ways, trying to help the body here, but God put us into that mentality of the warfare. We're starting to see that God is raising an army. We're part of an army. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're part of that army. And it's not a question of whether you're going to be in a peacetime army or a wartime army. You're at war. And the only way that we're going to affect, we have to stand against the enemy. We have to learn about who God is. We have to learn about who we are and how the enemy works. In military terms, you know, you have to learn the strategy, know the battlefield, understand the enemy's tactics so that you can go to the commander in chief and say, "What's the strategy? How do we fight this?" And you can stand because it's not about you. It's about the covenant God that is in you and is promised to serve you. He has used you greatly in the past. And so several years back, I'm realizing, okay, Lord, I know that when you're calling us to be walking with you in what you're doing, it's always going to be beyond me. And so I'm looking around at to use us in certain ways. But I said, I need a vision that is a God-sized vision. So I'm in prayer, and all of a sudden, the Lord brings to my mind, he says, I want you to spark a movement that's going to launch 1 million missionaries into the harvest. And it's like, is there anybody else up there? Because I'm looking at, what can I do? And so Martha and I, we gathered the people and the things we knew, and we put a lot of efforts in there, and it just came up to nothing. But you know, when God speaks, things happen. It's just not on our time frame. And so Martha and I prayed for more than 2 years and saying, okay, Lord, we haven't been able to use our efforts and our resources with what we've got to carry out this big vision. We haven't seen this mass movement of missions going on that's going to be required. Well, last year, you know, we're praying for 2 years. We're doing what we can do, and we're saying, well, is God shutting it down? Are we ready for retirement? And retirement's not in the Bible. I don't know if you understand that, but he said, all of a sudden he brought together and he said, okay, you're going to find your tribe in 25. Okay? And that tribe is going to be your disciples, the successors in your ministry, your covenant friends, your fellowships, groups, family. But the thing is that God had to do the choosing. He says, you're not going to do the choosing for you. Well, I can understand that. Well, that's good because I've been lucky so far or blessed so far. I've had some good friends like this, but what God is going to do, you're going to take something that he chooses. How many of you know that unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain? But he's a great builder. I mean, he's pretty smart, you know. And so oftentimes the Lord would say, you know, what do you have in your hand? How are you using that? And it's like Moses when he's going to go across the Red Sea. He said, well, what do you have in your, or go into the Egypt. He says, well, what do you have in your hand? He's got the stick that he walks on. And God says, now go. So I had to look around at what do we have? Well, I look at our board member, and we have a member of our board who's an Anglican bishop. He's now currently an associate bishop with the Anglican Church in Europe. But he lives in Spain, and we work with him in Brazil and in the UK. And he says, well, you know, things are changing. Can I come alongside you guys? And we're going, yeah. I mean, he has relationships and contacts in 21 nations. I mean, God has blessed us over the 37 years. We've been able to minister in about 15 nations or something like that. But here we're talking about church planting. He's talking about bringing together a school for missionary training. He's talking about online resources. All the things that I had ever wanted to do, he's already set up to do that. And in one fell swoop, God says, well, look around you. Who do you have? And here's this answer to our prayers sitting on our board. And so now, in this next year, we're going to be going to Spain and learn to possibly begin to set up a missionary training school, an internship. And, you know, Bishop Joseph, he was here for a while, and he knows Peter Matthews. He made connection with the Anglican program down at Asbury Seminary. And the guy says, well, we'd like to come to Spain. Well, we're going to be part of that. So all of a sudden, here's all of these things that I never thought I'd ever be able to do. And all I have to do is walk around and be willing to say, you did it before. You brought 30,000 into the kingdom by just saying yes. And a little side cap on that, when I got to Eric, you know, talking about not being very big, it's like we were not World Vision, you know, we were just a small ministry. And I said, well, Eric, how did you get in connection with me? Because it was just out of the blue that I got this email that says, our mission and evangelism department is dead. It's been dead for 15 years. Can you come and help us? I'm going, what? Who are these guys? And so I said, well, how did you do that? Well, a ministry that I hadn't been part of in 5 years still had my contact information on their website. And so Eric pulled up this website and God says, this one, call this one. We found our tribe. And God did more than we could think or imagine. And so I get to the so what. There's a lot of times in sermons, you can tell them what to do, you can beat them with what needs to be done, but you know, you don't give them any way to step into it. So, the first of all is we have to ask God for a God-sized vision. And I want you to, individually and as a congregation, I want you to come together and begin to pray for a God-sized vision for what He's called you to do personally, what He's called you to do as a congregation, because what God is doing, we've never been before. We've never been in a move of the Holy Spirit historically with what's happening now. And we know that God's Word says that it's Him, God, who determines the times and the places of our habitation. So He's brought you here for this time because He needs you and all that you are. And it all comes through partnership. We've been blessed by being a partner with you to be able to walk and do these things. And we've learned a lot from you, and we've been able to share a lot of who you are with the people in Uganda and UK and Brazil and 15 other nations. But we're on a verge of something. What do you want now, God? Ask Him for a vision. And then you have to commit yourself to say, okay, am I going to commit my priorities to what I want or the needs that I see around you? Now, that doesn't mean that they're not important. But when God says, you know, seek the kingdom first and all these other things will be added unto you, ask God to help you prioritize all that you are, all that you're doing, and even all that you're not. And say, God, how can you use what I have in my hand? How can you use me? He says in Ephesians 4 that, you know, when all the joints supply, it builds itself up into the knowledge of Christ, into the image of Christ. That's who you are. You're dynamite waiting to happen. And you just have to look around for the Lord to light the fuse. So we got our tribe in 25, but He's going to bring the fix in 26. And you're part of that fix. Okay? And so take the first step as you ask that, and you need to have wise counsel around you. We've been so blessed with the Carrie is part of our board. And the counsel and the wisdom that he brings to us has been invaluable. Bring wise counsel around you. You can't do this by yourself, and you're not called to. But you are a gift of God. Each one is a gift individually, and all of you are a gift as a congregation. This is an exciting time that may not come again for generations, and we get to be part of it. And you've proven yourself faithful in Uganda, in other areas. You know, the fruit of your ministry, of who you are together, has had great success. So God says, here's a group I can work with. And I've placed all, I would love to see all these new faces here in the young people, because you're the dynamite generation. You're the Joshua generations. You're going to be the war troops. You know, Moses parted the sea and brought the people up to the land, but it was Joshua who took them in and took the giants. Each one of you may face different giants in your hand, but we have to have that spirit like Caleb and Joshua. You know, the 12 spies went in there. They said, the land is just what you said it was. You know, it's full of milk and honey, but there are these giants in there. And they had 10 of them. Said, oh, man, they were so big, they had things, and we've got nothing. You know, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes, and this is grasshoppers. And two of them said, now, wait a minute. Let's look at the God we've been serving. You know, God is true. It's what He said it was. We look back, He just killed the greatest army in the world, led us through the Red Sea, gave us water. Now, He's going to be big enough, and if we're faithful, then He's going to give these guys to us for lunch. Their protection has been removed. There are a lot of strongholds and giants in your life, but this is a time when God is stripping away their protection. And our decision is, are we going to be remembering like, God, I can do this because you're with me. You are the God of the storm, not the bigness of the storm, but the God who's bigger than the storm. He wants you to walk on water. That's the time we're living in. And so I'm going to close with this is Don't settle for what has been accomplished or what has not been accomplished in your life. I'm in my 79th year right now. I'm coming up on 80, and I'm saying, I'm taking Moses's mantle. He didn't start until he was then. And I don't know how many years I have left, but I'm going to make him for God. And God has shown himself faithful that you take one step, he's going to take four. And so, how big can you dream? How big is your vision? Do you have a God-sized vision? Dream as big as you can and then ask God to show you what he says. And your future is there. And we've been blessed. We've seen God do great things. But we've not seen anything yet with what God is going to do. Signs, wonders, you see people delivered. You may even see the dead raised in congregations all over the place because the presence of God is there. Will you be part of it? Will you say, I'm going to take that giant. God, show me what to do. Show me what the first step is. And help us to see together what God is saying so that we can have a God-sized vision. Now, I don't know. It may not be a 4,000 member congregation that comes out, but God doesn't do that. He started with 12. And he created a bunch of small groups and they took on the world. What can God do? Don't settle for the vision you can see. Don't settle for the limitations that you see going around you. Ask God, how do we take the giants? What do you want me to do? And what can we do in partnership? Not just with us and the missionaries that you see here. You'll hear a lot of good stories. But what can we do, individual and as a body? Because the best is yet to come. We're going to see things apostles long see. And they're resident right here. Father, I thank you and praise you that you are at work, that you are the God of armies, that you are the host, that you are a covenant God that gives us all that you are. And all that we have or not have, you have covered it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir the hearts of this congregation, that they would hear your voice clearly, and that you would strengthen them and encourage them. I pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit just to come and wash through each and every one so they can be all that you've created them to be, together and individuals, in Jesus' name.